anyone. Saha, he, yogi, a mystic. Brahma Nirvanam, liberation in the Supreme. Brahma Bhuta, being self-realized. Adigachati, attains. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. One whose happiness is within, who is active and rejoices within, and whose aim is inward, is actually the perfect mystic. He is liberated in the Supreme, and ultimately he attains the Supreme. Please repeat. One whose happiness is within, who is active and rejoices within, and whose aim is inward, is actually the perfect mystic. He is liberated in the Supreme, and ultimately he attains the Supreme. Purport. Unless one is able to release happiness from within, how can one retire from the external engagements meant for deriving superficial happiness? A liberated person enjoys happiness by factual experience. He can, therefore, sit silently at any place and enjoys the activities of life from within. Such a liberated person no longer desires external material happiness. This state is called Brahma Bhuta, attaining which one is assured of going back to Godhead, back to home. I'll read the translation again. One whose happiness is within, who is active and rejoices within, and whose aim is inward, is actually the perfect mystic. He is liberated in the Supreme, and ultimately he attains the Supreme. Then we go page number one of the introduction. You like to follow. Om Ajnati Mirandasya Jananjana Salakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavam Sya Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakam Vitam Sya He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinavandhu Jagatpate Gopisya Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Vrishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpata Ruvyacha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitana Pavanevyo Vaisnavivyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Sivasvati Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Maru Prabhu, you wanna give class? No, please. Go for it. No, please. No? Yeah, but I couldn't find anybody. I don't feel like giving. Oh, come on. No, really, I don't feel like. Sorry.
So thank you very much, Bhakta Mark. Bhakta Mark also is actually very busy. Okay. So I'll just read it one more time just for myself. One whose happiness is within, who is active and rejoices within, and whose aim is inward, is actually the perfect mystic. He is liberated in the Supreme, and ultimately he attains the Supreme. Yeah, so this is Krishna speaking to Arjuna. We're still studying the chapter Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness. And Krishna is describing here the spiritual person. One of the famous verses is let me just look it up. I forgot the beginning. If you forget the beginning, then you forget. I mean, I didn't forget the whole verse, but then it's difficult to recite it. Brahmana, what is that? Pandita Samadarshinaha. That's how it ends. Vidya, Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmana Gaivi Hastini Sunicheva Swapake Cha Pandita Samadarshina. So a spiritual person, he sees everyone equal. And you have the famous picture in the Bhagavad Gita. You see like he sees the super soul like that. So that is the famous verse. And let me just go back a little bit longer. Yeah, Krishna was talking about knowledge. Oh yeah, now I remember. Yeah, he was saying that the soul is actually not doing anything. And that the Supreme also is not responsible for the soul's good and bad actions. And then he started to explain that you should know about these things, you should have knowledge about these things. And then he explained this person that actually has knowledge about these things. That's kind of, because we're speaking about action, you see, that's how it started. Maybe I should go back a little bit more, because Arjuna was confused. He was saying, because the fourth chapter is transcendental knowledge. So he was saying, you're saying that I should have gyan, knowledge, or should I act? Should I renounce, or should I act? This is generally, it's a little bit, I don't want to say impersonal, but many spiritualists, they have this tendency that they think that sannyas means becoming totally detached. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that sannyas, he's quoting actually from Shastra, it's forbidden in this age. The reason why we have it in our movement, why Prabhupada gave it, because it's for preaching. So generally, to just give up everything, it's too difficult. Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj used to say, why are you so proud chanting in the forest, thinking that you're very renounced? And Prabhupada would also say that you'll just be thinking of women and money. So the idea is that you become detached, at the same time you become attached to Krishna's service. That was a very nice lecture this morning from Tattvavid Prabhu, is that the only way actually to become detached is to, well, the way he, well, I mean, it was very nicely explained in Prabhupada's purport. One thing that it said, you should just neglect the mind. So there is some detachment there. And Tattvaviti explained that, because in the verse it says you shouldn't neglect the mind. So we were discussing it a little bit. The idea is it's like you kind of have a dog that is not so much trained. So it's not that you neglect them, you just ignore him, but what you do is you put a chain on him and you just put him outside. So in that sense you neglect him. You take care of him, you put the chain on, and then you put him outside. And then, you know, it needs training. So that's one way of neglecting. And then Prabhupada says, then you should also smash the mind. You should beat it with the shoe, morning and evening. Morning with the shoe and even with a broomstick. That's what Bhaktisiddhanta Goswami Maharaj said. And then Prabhupada also said that you should surrender to the spiritual master and Krishna. You should serve a higher authority. Because Madhvacharya explains that we are very tiny, we are very small, so we either serve the material energy or the spiritual energy. There is there's nothing in between. Because we're so small, we're always being attracted to something. Unless you want to commit spiritual suicide, then, but that is also not, that is just a temporary situation, because of that, that there will always be some attraction. It's just the nature of the spirit soul. Yeah, so that's kind of the intro, because it's quite a... Yeah, he says here in the 12th verse, he says, you should offer the results of all activities to me. So that is the secret of this karma yoga, that you should do it for Krishna. It's quite intricate, actually, this Bhagavad Gita. It's sometimes also referred to as the Gita Upanishad. And it's kind of a summary of all the Vedas. So Krishna is explaining all these different yogas. And he says, I forgot which chapter, I think it's in the 7th chapter, Yeya tamam prapadyante tangsateva bhajamayahang mamavadmanu vartante. And then I forgot, but mamavadmanu, chapter 4, right? Mamavadmanu vartante. And it means everyone follows my path. And as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So, okay, so I'll just get into the purport now a little bit. Unless one is able to relish happiness from within, how can one retire from the external engagements meant for deriving superficial happiness? Yeah, so what it says here, how can you focus within? And how can one stop enjoying sense gratification? A liberated person enjoys happiness by factual experience. Yeah, it's not some vague thing. It's real. Like I said, the Bhagavad Gita, it's called Gita Upanishad, and Krishna is just giving a summary of all the different yogas. And in that sense, it's quite presented in a broad way. And like I said, everybody follows my path, Krishna says. And as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. Burijan also explains it as the yoga ladder. So there's different ways how to approach the Supreme. And Prabhupada explains that bhakti yoga, he explains it like the elevator. It goes very quick and it goes to the top floor. Like in some buildings, the stairs will only go to a certain level. If you want to go to the top floor, you can only go with the elevator. It's like kind of protected like that. I mean, there is some elevator, I guess, for the fire thing, but it's like locked. You can only get there with an elevator, so it's protected. Nobody, you got like a key, and that's how you can get in. So the Bhakti Yoga is a little bit like that. I was just reading about the different planetary systems. You can't enter those systems unless you are qualified. So you cannot build a spaceship and enter those systems unless you are pure. So similarly, you cannot enter the spiritual world unless you are completely pure. Anyway, the point is that there's different systems for different people. Everybody here wants to fulfill their desires. I actually illicit desires, because the only real desire is to serve. Like Prabhupada used to say, I only ask my Guru Maharaj, how can I serve you? The idea is that we come from the spiritual world and we came here to enjoy separately from Krishna. So, theoretically it's actually not possible, because everything is Krishna's energy. So some other Krishna, he created this situation, this material world, in such a way It's like the most amazing, you could say, like a computer program. He made it in such a way that we think that we're separate from Krishna, that we're independent, that we're all like independent. Well, we're already independent in one sense, but this world is made in such a way that we think we are completely independent. I mean, we have some independence. We can choose Krishna or not Krishna, Maya. The thing is, in the material world, we think that we are the Lord, or that is the tendency. Like you have so many Hitlers and Stalins and Napoleons, and they were thinking, you know, I am in control. I'm going to tell people what to do. And Prabhupada says, and where are they now? They're all dead. So that lording over material nature, it's kind of a disease, and that desire for enjoyment is very big. It's described also in the Srimad Bhagavatam that even Karma Muni was very advanced yogi, and I don't know exactly on which level he was, but he must have been on practically this level that we are reading here in this chapter. Still, there was some desire for material enjoyment, and Lord Brahma knew it, and he presented his daughter Devahuti, or his granddaughter, I don't remember exactly. Anyway, he presented him to her, and so he, yeah, he kind of, I mean, he actually kept on meditating quite a long time, and this, you know, this Devahuti, she was very austere, and then he became very pleased with her after some time, and then he fulfilled his desires, and he gave her a son, Lord Kapila. And then he left immediately. So he kind of fulfilled his desire and then he left. So that is kind of the idea of the whole Vedic culture. Sarva sukino bhavantu. Let everybody be happy. That is our motto. And so people can fulfill their desires. Our advice is to do it as minimal as possible. Still, the desires, some desires are there, so if you have it, then you're allowed to do that. Sometimes Prabhupada says that this Grihastha ashram is that you can live like on the heavenly planets. So there is some scope for enjoyment. So you can do that, and at the same time, you can lead spiritual life, like the demigods. They're also all devotees. Of course, here generally it's a little bit more easy, because the scope for enjoyment is not as big as in the higher systems, heavenly systems. So the point is that in the Vedas there is this this scope for enjoyment, so you can enjoy, and therefore there's different ladders, different levels. Ultimately, and that is how Prabhupada explains them, all these karma yoga, jnana yoga, actually it is actually useless without bhakti yoga. So the thing is, the Bhagavad Gita is a summary of all these Vedas, which are huge. We never really study them, because we study Bhagavatam, which is like it's not even the official commentary, but it's the commentary from the author, Sukadev, Vyasadev. He wrote it after he wrote all the Vedas. It's a very intimate scripture. So we don't really study the Vedas, but the Vedas, they're packed up with all kinds of rules and arrangement how to kind of enjoy and at the same time have spiritual life. And in this book, these things are all kind of explained. And the way Prabhupada is giving the purports, and it's actually the way Krishna is the meaning, actually. Because you have to understand, all these different arrangements, these different levels, are there to bring people ultimately to the level of surrendering to Krishna. So now here Krishna is directly instructing Arjuna, and he's directly talking about these Vedas. So of course Krishna will be more, a little bit more direct than that it's given in the Vedas. So it's obvious that every time, because sometimes Prabhupada is accused, you explain everything in the light of bhakti yoga. Many professors criticize Prabhupada's purports and translations. Actually, they are completely correct. And I just try to explain that, why they are completely correct. So, and you have to understand that Prabhupada is explaining it in the line of the disciplic succession. And that the succession comes down from Krishna. So it's not just that Prabhupada, had some light, and maybe that was also there, at the same time, it's a very scientific process. So there's guru, sadhu, and shastra. So he has his guru, he also has the sadhus, he himself is also sadhu, and guru, and then he studied the shastras, he had many, many books. This is how he wrote the purports. Yeah, so here Krishna is describing this perfect yogi. A liberated person enjoys happiness by factual experience. He can therefore sit silently at any place and enjoy the activities of life from within. Such a liberated person no longer desires external material happiness. This state is called Brahma Bhuta, attaining which one is assured of going back to Godhead, back to home. Yeah, so there's the famous verse, I don't know exactly where, in the 18th chapter at the end. Brahma Bhuta Prasannadma Na Soshati Na Kangsati Sama Sarvesha Bhutesu Mat Bhaktim Labhate Param. Right? So when he attains that Brahma Bhuta platform, then he doesn't lament, he doesn't hanker, no more kam, kangsati, no more lust. And Sama Sarvesha Bhutesu, that is what we just discussed, he sees everything equal. And then, mat bhaktim labhate param, then he attains devotional service to me. So that is that stage that we're discussing here. That person that is described, he is on that Brahma Buddha platform. So I'll think I'll stop there. Maybe there's some question or comment. Well, it depends on you. I explained it a little bit. Sometimes Prabhupada says this material world was created because of us. It's because of our desire. And it's because of our, and our meaning the whole worldly population, it's of our illegal desires that it's such a mess. So, if you become a devotee, and you become devoted to Krishna, and you become a sincere devotee, then Krishna will only give you what you need. This is the general rule. The general rule is that Krishna will give you what you need. However, if you are very stubborn, then you can do something really illegal. You will do something that is bad for you. So, that's like that. If you're very insincere, then I mean Krishna will try everything to persuade you. And at some stage, then Krishna, he will just give it to you. With the devotee, then generally Krishna will be more... Like Mahendra was explaining that Krishna is always thinking, how can I curb the pride of my devotees? And you can read it also in the Bhagavatam. Sometimes a devotee becomes a little bit proud, like, what's her name, this queen? Rukmini, she became a little bit proud, and then Krishna, he started to joke with her just to curb her pride a little bit. So, of course, these are all lilas, but you can see that even on the highest level, that there is some, at least seemingly, some pride, and that this is part of the whole pastime, and then Krishna is curbing that. So, also with us, generally, he's doing like that. He's thinking, how can I make this Madhu Gopal less puffed up? Anything else? Yes? I guess. Yeah. Well, the way Prabhupada explains it is the material world is like a prison. So, you know, really we shouldn't be here. Yeah, so we are here. And the thing is, we are conditioned. And in the... Yeah. No, not so much to learn. It's just for our illegal desires. It's like a prison house. Well, I was just explaining to Remy, if you are very foolish, then you can try to fulfill them. Which will... Well, then gradually you will come to Krishna. Yeah. Prabhu wants to say something.
Thank you.
That was my point from the beginning, that the child doesn't have to go outside, can just stay inside. And like she said, if the child is just staying outside, she'll get sicker. As soon as the parent says, okay, you can come in now, are you going to behave? And then the child should just listen. It shouldn't go like, no, let me experience more bad weather, let me go around the corner. Yeah. No, the child, like she said, the child needs to listen to the parent, then it will be happy. If it acts independent, it will not be happy. Yeah, and one is less intelligent and the other one is intelligent. Well, I said that was clear, no? One is less intelligent and one is intelligent. So you be the judge of who's better. Now I'm asking you. Well, that is fine. I think anybody here can see what is better, the intelligent person or the less intelligent person. You see? So and just to come back on this material and spiritual, I just explained that in the beginning you make the distinction because you do identify with your body. So then, because of our false identification, we have to explain about matter and spirit. As soon as you get on the spiritual platform, there's actually no such thing anymore as matter. However, you can't just take it cheaply. It's called sahaja, that you just think that you're on the spiritual platform, but in fact you're not. So it's not something that you can reach artificial. That's what was mentioned in this verse. It's real, Prabhupada says. What does Prabhupada says? A liberated person enjoys happiness by factual experience. So it's something that he really is experiencing. You can read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, these devotees, they get all kinds of ecstasies. Their bodies start to shiver, tears shoot out of their eyes. It's not something real. And sometimes in India you have people, they imitate that. And that is, it's called like a cheating. So the point is that, you can use the material. Like, for instance, we offer an apple, and then we offer it to Krishna. So like that. But it only works if you connect it with Krishna. Otherwise, it only works to some extent, like I explained in the beginning about the different yogas. It will only take you to some level. Okay. We can discuss further later. We have to stop because we ran out of time. We'll have chanting of Hare Krishna now. And this is the most easiest way to experience actually that spiritual, I guess you could say bliss. So thank you very, very much for coming, Hare Krishna.